Welcome back to the Urban Lore Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Castaños. To keep with our theme this month, Halloween, true and false, we're going to talk about an origin story this time, a true origin story. And that origin story is for something that most of us participated in our childhood and maybe well into adulthood, and that's trick-or-treat. Remember the joy of picking out your favorite Halloween character, your costume, going to the local store and getting that costume, whether it was the little plastic mask with the elastic band and the itchy kind of jumpsuit, or maybe you and your family got together and made homemade costumes, which, you know, always the best kind. Then you wandered up and down the streets in the neighborhoods that you knew. And although I never personally knew anyone that did any tricks, of course, the idea being that if that household didn't have a treat for you that night, then they might wind up with toilet paper in their trees or heaven knows what else. So the true concept of the idea of trick or treat. Of course, where does that begin? Most people believe that it has Celtic roots, going back to ancient England, at least the 9th century in Britain and in Ireland. Pagan festivals, which were later combined with Christian celebrations, like All Saints' Day by the Catholic Church, would have people go and ward off evil spirits by dressing as demons and devils and ghosts and dancing and singing all night long to keep those particular evil spirits away, to appease them, if nothing else. And also the idea is that they would go to the wealthy homes and they would basically beg for food, and that those treats would either be used to help ward off the evil spirits, or ward off something maybe a little more direct, like hunger in the winter that was coming up in most of these places. Anthropologists kind of refer to this as redistribution, and strangely, another holiday that has kind of a connotation of some masks really began with a very similar concept of redistribution, and that would be traditional Mardi Gras. Now, not the floats and the beads and the flashing and all of that stuff, but Mardi Gras in the traditional sense, where people would dress up, disguise themselves, and go to the barons and the wealthy landowners and ask for food. And it became kind of an almost play-like tradition where some would say no and some would say yes, and those that said no would be knocked down or they would have some kind of mischief done to their home. But it was all done in good fun. And usually, later that day, all the foods that were collected from all around the countryside were brought together for a big communal feast. You don't hear about that kind of Mardi Gras much anymore. But if you do go to some of the smaller communities in Louisiana, you will find this traditional Mardi Gras sometimes still in practice. But we're not here to talk about Mardi Gras. We're here to talk about trick-or-treat. So over time, it became more and more of a ritual to dress up and dance around bonfires and seek out these gifts. It's known as mumming. It goes back to the Middle Ages. As I said, by the time Christianity spread through many of these areas, people didn't want to give up their fun little activities. So in many times, they were combined with Christian holidays like All Saints and All Souls Day. Later on, we will be doing an episode about Dia de los Muertos. That'll be the last one we do in this series, where we will revisit All Saints and All Souls Days. Poor people would continue to visit the homes of the rich and receive pastries called soul cakes, and they would promise to pray for those homeowners to keep the demons away and those passed on that walked the earth. The actual term trick-or-treat doesn't show up in the United States until after World War I, and it became a much more, let us say, organized and eventually commercialized event, much like what we practice now. One of my favorite things that happens every year around this time are photos of homemade costumes from the 1930s. Some of them are positively terrifying. And if you've never seen them before, I'll post a link in the show notes to some examples. So from a Celtic practice to keep away the demons, to a middling arrangement to redistribute the food wealth and have a feast, all the way up to our modern commercial, go to Spirit Halloween, buy the costume, and wander up and down the streets looking for Snicker bars. Trick or treat has changed over the years, but is certainly a staple of Spooky Month. Do you know anybody that prefers tricks to treats? Maybe the treat could be telling them about our podcast. Please share with your friends. Like, give us 5 stars if you listen to us on Apple iTunes. Feel free to write us at urbanlorepodcast@gmail.com. All one word, urbanlorepodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at urbanlorepod. For the Urban Lore Podcast, I'm Tom Castaños.